you, Master, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' precious name. We'll receive the first word tonight from God's handmaiden, Dr. Mrs. Becky Anenche, to minister as she leads us in releasing our families in this season of destiny release. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat.
Tender mercies. Father, we thank you. We say, blessed be your name. Thank you for that introductory word. Thank you for that light. Thank you for that insight. Lord, we look up to you that before this convention 2021 is over, we will not just hear a word, we'll receive your touch. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Somebody say a loud amen. Is anybody excited to be here? Say a loud amen. I'd like to specially welcome you, and we go straight into the word this evening. Please open your Bibles with me, if you can, to Ruth chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 13. We're looking at recovering your marital destiny. Recovering your marital destiny. Tonight, God is going to cause a recovery of every marital destiny and take you from where you are now to where you are meant to be, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. This convention theme shall answer its name in your life, in the name of Jesus Christ. And let's read all the way. We'll read all the way to the end. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name might be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a what? A restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age. For thine daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women in her neighborhood gave it a name, saying, there is a son born unto Naomi. And they called his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Phares. And Phares begot Hezron. And you read all the way down, you come to the last verse, which says, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And if you go to Matthew chapter 1, you see there from verse 1, and Obed, in that genealogy, that says in verse 1, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and the genealogy goes all the way down to verse where you meet, and Obed begat, where's that verse? Yes. Obed begat, and Jesse begat David, the king, and David, the king, begat, alright, you've taken us back, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And then it goes all the way down. And we know that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the genealogical lineage of Boaz. What are we looking at today? The restoration of lives, restoration of marital destinies. I'll be addressing both the singles, the married, the men and the women, and see how much we can get that done. Now we see that Ruth's life is a very typical illustration of a restored life, a restoration life. Now, what are the factors we see in the life of Ruth? Number one, I'm sure you all know the story of Ruth. There's no how we can read from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, but you know the preceding story. So now let's look at it. Number one, Ruth was single again. She was single again. I don't know why, who is single here and the reason why you are single. Ruth was single again. But God gave her restoration, and she was successfully married, and God established her life. Number two, she married at an older age. I don't know what age you are here now, trusting God to be married. You have not yet married. I'm here to announce to you that if Ruth could get married at an older age, you are not too old for God to reestablish you, or to settle you, or to establish you maritally, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Ruth had no child for I don't know how many years. There's no indication in scriptures she had no child for as long as she was married. Initially, before the husband died, she had no child. But this is the same Ruth who now got married to Boaz and gave birth to Obed, who gave birth to Jesse, who gave birth to David, who is the genealogical inheritance of the Master Jesus Christ. Beloved, this convention is your convention for a turnaround as far as your fruitfulness is concerned, in the name of Jesus. I don't know what the doctors have said. I don't know whether it is a male factor, whether it's a female factor, low sperm counts, whether it is blocked fallopian tubes, uterine fibroids, uterine synecdoche, it's cervical incompetence, hormonal imbalance, whatever the spectrum. Today, I am here to announce to you that before this convention is over, your fruitfulness shall be established. If you are a believer, you shout aloud, amen. Ruth, I said at the beginning, it's a typical example of a restored marital destiny. Your own destiny shall be established. You shall be, by this time next year, who God meant for you to be. There shall be a recovery of years. If there is a believer in the house, you shout aloud, amen. What about Boaz? Has it ever occurred to you that Boaz was of age? Did it ever occur to you that Boaz has no record in scripture that he had ever been married? There's no way, there's no indication that he had ever married or ever had any other children. I wondered why he could have been still single at that age. The description of him in chapter 2, in verse 1, Naomi was telling Ruth that she has a relation that is a man of mighty wealth. A mighty man of wealth. He was a mighty man of wealth at that age and was not married. It began to occur to me, you know that his father was the one that married Rahab. So probably all the while in Israel, he was stigmatized. They looked down on him. They rejected him. He went to ladies and say, you, that is mixed blood. We are not married. I don't know which man is here and ladies have rejected you. Today, the last rejection is the last forever, in the name of Jesus. God will give you somebody that is many times better than the ones that rejected you. If there's a lady here, they have never come to you, or they have always been jilting you. Things have not worked out as they should. I am here to announce to you that after this convention, you are going to be married. The stigma will be arrested. The reproach will be deleted. The antimarital spells will be arrested, and you shall enter into your marital destiny. If you are a believer, shout aloud, amen. And so, both Ruth and Boaz were, in my own terminology, borrowing from the senior pastor's words, non-entities, until they encountered a restoration marriage, and then they became some entities. Your marriage can make you or it can mar you. Those singles that are here listening to the sound of my voice today, I announce to you, you shall not marry the wrong husband. You shall not marry the wrong wife. You shall not be connected to the wrong person. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. And if you are already married, I'm here to announce to you, it is a season of restoration. God shall turn your marriage into the best marriage on the earth. God shall turn your marriage into a marriage of destiny. God shall make your marriage a heaven on earth. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. So, what are the factors that we see in the life of both Ruth and Boaz? What are the factors that we see in both their lives? Number one, they were people of integrity. They were people of integrity.
These were two mature people that had access to do whatever they wanted to do, but they maintained purity. Their beds were undefiled. There were people who ensured that they were not misbehaving. Don't you remember that there were two of them that followed Naomi from the land of Moab? One was called Ruth, the other was called Orpah. By the time Ruth, Naomi said to them, "You fool, go back to your people, go back to your land, go back to your own," and all, Orpah took off without looking back. We don't know what became of her. We don't know the kind of lifestyle she went to live as a retired widow. We don't know who it, what it was that she ended up. But you see the record of Ruth. She maintained purity of character, purity of morality, purity of everything, and the same thing with Boaz. Beloved brothers and sisters, as many of you that are not yet married, your catch to have a successful marital destiny is to ensure, like the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, that the bed is undefiled. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all. The bed undefiled. Warmongers and adulterers, God will judge. So you ensure that when you enter into that courtship, that relationship in chapter 13 verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But warmongers and adulterers, God will judge. When you are in that relationship, as you are starting, your first agreement is nothing should happen between two of us before the marriage. It was one of the things that my husband and I agreed at that time. We said, if you want this relationship to continue and you want it to end in marriage, then we agree that nothing shall happen. And it is a very key factor for the success of marital destiny after the marriage. Today, there are people who are plagued by all manner of marital, do I call it insecurity? You know, there are some words that are reigning words. Marital upheavals and marital battles, and many of these, if you trace them, go back to some of the foundational issues. And probably if we have time today, we will pray and ask God, Father, forgive every marital wrong foundation and wipe away the consequences. And I believe that the Lord shall grant you victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number two is submission to leadership. Submission to leadership. Going through in chapter 1, chapter 2, all the way to chapter 3, Naomi kept on directing and guiding Ruth. Said, do like this, do like this. Where have you come from? She maintained a record of Ruth's activities. She was up to date with what she was doing. Young people, listen to me. When mom and dad ask you, where are you coming from? Don't think that it is a quarrel. Singles that are living on your own now, be accountable to somebody. Have a spiritual authority figure that monitors you and is able to keep track of your activities and keep track of your associations and your relationships. Nobody wants to spoil anything for anybody. Everybody who is yet single, it's so important that you have an accountability partner as well as your spiritual authority. What you hear preached in church is not gimmicks, it's the word. It is real, it is life transforming. Take that word, run with it, hook, line, and sinker. Some years ago, in a singles program, then in Area 1, in the youth chapel in the basement, I said to them, our advocation for you is in courtship, no kissing, no hugging, no necking. Eh? They took it to internet. Badamwa. Those who listened to it and obeyed it, it is paying off for them. Those who ignored it, I don't know where they are and how they are. But beloved brothers and sisters, what you hear from this exalted altar is words of the Lord. Words from scripture that will give you security, give you success, give you God's help, and give you breakthrough. If you believe it, say amen. Number three is walk while you wait. Walk while you wait. Be gainfully employed. Be meaningfully engaged in productive life. There are some young ladies. Say, what is your prayer request? Marriage, marriage, marriage. Hey, mommy, pray for me, marriage. Pastor Mrs., pray for me, marriage. Marriage, marriage, marriage. Okay, what are you doing? now, oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trusting God to be married. In fact, as you have told me now, I remember my house rent is due. Please, can you assist me? All manner. Beloved, now, while you are waiting, is the time to engage yourself in meaningful, productive adventure. In working with your hands, there is dignity in labor. There is dignity in hard work. Before we got married, you've heard my senior pastor preach it many times. God's servant preach it many times. He said he didn't have much. He had one trouser. I didn't know it was one trouser. I'm telling you. Because he would wash the shirts he had. I also don't know how many shirts though. But all I knew is he was always clean, neat, smart. I know, Sha, that he had one shoe. It was like a military boot. But when he shines it, you can almost see your face inside the shoe. So he would knock it, and this is how he used to walk. You know, I don't know whether it is the military shoe, but he still walks like that, even without military shoe. Hallelujah. And I had friends who thought, is something wrong with you? Why would you be thinking of marrying somebody who doesn't have the whole world now? I think it has proved that something truly was wrong with me. God was very, very right with me. I didn't make a wrong choice at all. How many of you agree with me? Hallelujah! I didn't make a wrong choice at all. But I saw something in him. Diligence. Hard work. Whatever he was doing, he was working. He was working. Beloved, don't be deceived by sweet talkers. Oh. Don't be deceived by those that come and say, hey, baby, you have sugar in my tea, the only mosquito in my net, you know, I can't live life without you. Yeah, it's just words, oh, and that's how they'll be using words to finish you in the house, and you'll be dying of hunger. He might not have much now, but you see he's working. Maybe he doesn't have a government job. He's not employed. But you called him at 7 a.m. or 7:30. Say, where are you? Say, I'm on my way out. I'm going to see if I can get something to do. Aha. Now we're talking. Not the one you call at 10 in the morning. And he say, hello. He's just waking up. There is dignity in labor. A hardworking man today will always remain a hardworking man. And God will always bless his labor. It's like a case of seed time and harvest. What you invest today multiplies in your tomorrow and then gives you a future. Ensure that while you are waiting, you are meaningfully engaged. You saw Boaz. He was also waiting to be married and he was meaningfully engaged. He was putting his hands to the plow. You know, he was doing what he needed to do. Sometimes I can't understand when a man says, hey, my wife lost her job, so we are really broke, we need some money, can you? And I'm like, what about you? I'm sorry, please pardon me, I can't seem to understand it. An able-bodied young man, so why don't you go to a construction site and carry some blocks, help with some work? Do you know that when we first got married, my husband, God's servant was working three jobs. His official work in the morning, he would walk, close, and go to the second place he would walk in the afternoon. He would close from there and resume in the other place by 4 p.m. and walk from there. When he closed around that 8, 9, he would take a car then, and then he would drive from where he was, pick passengers to one end of town, pick another set of passengers back, go like 2-3 times, then pick the last set that would drop around where our house was, drop them, and then come to the house. That is labor, dignity of working. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. He was earning a salary, but he worked in addition. Young ladies, your body is not a commodity. You don't sell your body for money. Don't let anybody deceive you. The money from such a lifestyle, never, mark my words, never amount to anything. It fizzles away. Senior pastor preached some messages some time ago. He called it, it's one of those evil money. And those evil monies have no destiny. I believe that the Lord will help us. The Lord will grant us great grace and wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ. And number four, which is the final point we shall be dwelling on in this meeting today, is there were people of principles and procedures. People of principles and procedures. If you look at that chapter 4 where we read of Ruth, if you look at chapter 4, when Boaz was convinced, or he knew that he wanted to marry this lady, what did he do? He went up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsmen of whom Boaz spake came by. Unto him he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down." That is, he had enough substance in the land that he could sit at the gate and tell people, "Come, sit down. I want to have a meeting with you. Oga, come, please join us in the meeting." He could. Are you hearing me? He could direct. So he gathered the townsmen, the kinsmen of his own kindred, and told them, "There's a situation here. There's one of our kinsmen that there's a law in the land. There's a rule. This is how the procedure goes. Blah 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 blah. And is there any of you that would like to have the first right of taking this lady as your wife? There's somebody that is closer than me. That's procedure." He had an accurate knowledge of principles, procedures, protocols, and he obeyed them to the letter. Beloved, if you are a lawless person, your marriage will also end up lawless. He followed it accurately. And then, at the end of the day, the other person said, "No, I'm not interested. You can go ahead and take the wife." It was official. It was legal. A shoe was removed as a token, and it was presented. And the whole of the land knew, okay, so this is the legal person that is accepted to take this woman as wife. And that is how he had his wife. Be a man of principles. Be a woman of principles. Don't just do things anyhow. Don't let anything go by. That is why, for me, I call the book of Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 20 or from verse 22 right up to the end in verse 33. I call it the summary Bible of marriage. In verse 22 there it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Then it describes a lot of things. Then, in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And then goes on and describes a whole lot of other things. Our time is not going to permit me to go through all those things, but these are, if you can practice these two commands to the letter as far as it applies to you. In verse 33 is the overall summary. In Ephesians 5:33, it says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband." Somebody say amen. Amen. Every one of you in particular. It's not theory for another person. It is you in particular. Please, every man in the house, say "me" in particular. Every woman in the house, say "me" in particular. Not another person. It is me. I must ensure that as a man, I love my wife as myself. As a woman, I must ensure I reverence my husband as if I were reverencing, you know, the authority that God has placed over me. If these two things can be in place, let me ask you now, as a man now, will you beat yourself? That is, you offended yourself. You now carry hand. You are punching yourself. Can you? Except a madman. So if you will not punch yourself, then why would you punch your wife? If you are hungry, would you look for food to eat or not? If you have only one loaf of bread, will you not share it with your wife? Anything you want to do for you, or anything you want another to do for you, it means that is what you should do for your wife. Wife, obey your husband. Submit to him. Let him have the final say. Let him be the leader of the house. Anything that has two heads is a what? A monster. You can't be the head and the husband is the head. Your family, your household will be walking around in town like a monster. What will happen when people see the monster with two heads? What will they do? They will run from you. Reverence your husband. Love your wife. That is the summary principles and commandments of scripture for husbands and for wives. Jump up on your feet this evening as we lift up our hands and begin to talk to God in the name of Jesus. I want you to ask God this evening, you're single, you're single again, you're not yet married, you're of age, you have passed age, you are within the age bracket. Ask God, Father, I know that if you did it for Ruth, if you did it for Boaz, you can do it for me. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Husbands and wives here tonight, tell God, Father, help me to take time to study Ephesians chapter 5 from verses 22 all the way to the end. And let me apply it to my life. Lift up your voice and pray. Father, help me to apply that scripture to my life. Let me love my wife. Let me reverence my husband. Let me be submitted to my husband. Le porata kashaka takalaba. Le kete kelebrada balabalaba. Mashaka takalabradaba. In Jesus' name we have prayed. We're going to be receiving the ministry of the Asaphites as they take us further in the service. Please, you may be comfortably seated.
God, you are not just big, oh. You are not just large, oh.
Can we all be up, standing up?
You are a great God. I say you are God, yeah. You are not just big, oh, oh, oh. You are not just large, oh.
You are not just like
you.
your seat. What a mighty God you serve.